So we're learning Masechet Sanhedrin. We're in Kaf Vav Amud Aleph, 26a. And we are now talking about Shvi'it, Shana Shmita, where we are now, Baruch Hashem. And the fact that if a person gathers or sells, they're disqualified from being a witness or a judge in a court case. Wonderful. We're going to do a little bit of Agadah.
Judge in a court?
A judge, a dayan, in a Beit Mishpat.
Oh, in court?
Court. We learned that there was, the last thing we learned was that there was a leniency allowed for planting on Shemitah. On Shemitah.
What did you mean?
Leniency, they were Makel, Hakel, they were, gave them a heter. A kula, a heter. To allow them to plant on Shvi'it because of the tax collecting, the Arnona. If you have to pay your Arnona, well, then you're allowed to work on Shvi'it. It says so here. Tov, that's not
bizarre.
Tov, you have who to rely on. Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yanai, you said you're allowed to do it. Ask Rabbi Elgod if you can rely on it. Anyway, next story. So now we have an interesting story about Reish Lakish. As follows. Rav Chiya, a little bit difficult, but Ezrat Hashem will try and understand. Rav Chiya bar Zaro Noke, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehot Sadak, Havu Ka'azle, they were walking along. La'aber Shana, they were going to do the Ibur Shana, the intercalculation of the year, putting in the new month, whether or not to add in an extra month of
Adar.
That's called Ibur Hashana, right? Ibur HaChodesh is to decide whether or not the Chodesh needs to be extended or short, but Ibur Hashana to decide whether to make it a leap year. So that's what they were doing. They were on their way to do that. Pagabahu Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish met them. It's Pil Bahadayu, and he joined with them. Amar, he said, Eizel Echazei Hechi Avdei Uvda. I will go and see how they do that thing. Right? Who's interested? Reish Lakish is a posh of a student, wants to learn. Two great rabbis are going along to do the famous intercalculation. He's going to go with them and learn from them. So he carries it, he walks along the way with them. Chazailahu Gavra de Kakarid. They saw a man who was ploughing, right? Comes obvious from the story, we're talking about Shemitah. They don't care about someone ploughing generally. They happen to be in the Shemitah year. Right? They saw a person ploughing, right? Not allowed to do that. Amalahen, he said to them, right? So this is Reish Lakish saying to the other two rabbis. He said to them, Kohen the Choresh. Looks to me like a Kohen who is ploughing his field. We're going to see why he said he was a Kohen. The Gemara is going to tell us in a minute that Kohenim particularly was suspected of breaking Shemitah. Sorry, Rabban. But Kohenim was suspected of breaking Shemitah. Particularly, as opposed to anyone else. He didn't just say, there's a guy ploughing, he's a Jew ploughing. He said, there's a Kohen. Because Kohenim were...
Mushchatim. Kohenim Mushchatim? Corrupted.
Corrupted, a bit harsh. But they were suspect in this area anyway. We're going to see why. The Gemara is going to tell us a bit later why that is the case.
There's a good footnote.
Right, we're going to see that. The Gemara is going to say there's a footnote now. Or the Gemara later is going to explain in a brighter why we think that Kohenim are suspect.
They tried to change your law to John Avenge.
To what?
Huh?
They try what?
To change the rule for Pidyon Aben. That should be for every child.
Tough. Anyway, so Reish Lakish, they still see this guy playing. Reish Lakish says to the other two, wait a minute, that looks like okay, Tov. That looks like a that guy looks like a guy who is ploughing his field in Shemitah. So What do they say? Amulo, they say to him, Yaholoma Agiston Ani Batoko. He can say back to them, Agiston Ani. Agiston, apparently, I don't know, I've never seen the word before, apparently it means employee. I'm an employee on the land. Meaning, maybe he's got a valid excuse that he's allowed to do it. You know, let's not jump to conclusions. Might be that he's an employee, and that's okay. Why is it okay? So there's two possible reasons why an employee might be okay, because an employee is also not okay, generally speaking. But it depends. There's two possible circumstances it could be. So one is the fact that he could be an employee on a land that's not owned by Jews. Right? Some of Eretz Israel, unfortunately, even in that time, was owned by non-Jews. And if he was employed on the land, then there is a view that the land doesn't have Kedusha, and therefore the laws of Shriat don't apply to that land. Right? There is, even in, they rely on that today for Het HaMechira. Right? Het HaMechira is that the farmers sell their land to Goyim for the period of Shemitah, and therefore during that period they're allowed to work the land because there's no Shemitah, there's no Kedusha in the land. Same as very similar to Pesach and selling your tametz to a Goy. Right? You do it, you make a transaction which you're gonna you know you're gonna undo at the end of it, but it's a valid transaction nonetheless.
Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael.
Yes.
It says Kili Kol Haaretz.
Yes.
It all belongs to him.
Yes.
But he gave us permission to sell it if we want. We can sell it to China, for example.
So the Poskim talk about whether or not one is allowed to sell land to a Goy in Eretz Yisrael. And it's not so clear. Definitely there are Poskim that say you're not allowed to do it. Right? Which is one of the reasons why Het HaMechira is not. People don't like it. Tov. Okay, so one reason is that he might have been an employee for a non-Jew, right? And therefore he was allowed to work the land because there's no Kedusha on the land he was working on. Or alternatively, the footnote tells me that you could also say that he was working on the land in order to pay the Arnona, which we saw was permitted. So he could have said that. So the two rabbis, Rav Chia and Rav Shimon, who were walking with Reish Lakish, say to him, not necessarily, don't be so hasty jumping to conclusions, benefit of the doubt, maybe he's got a good excuse. Let's see what happens next. Tu Chazeh, later on they saw, Lahu Gavra, another person, Dahava Kasach Bekarmi, who was pruning his vineyard. Also not allowed. Maralahem, he said to them, Reish Lakish says to the two friends, Kohen, Vazomer, there's another Kohen, and he's pruning. It's not allowed. Amulah, they said to him, Yacholoma, maybe he could say to you, La'akel Beit Abad, Ani Tzarech. La'akel Beit Abad apparently means the Beit Abad is the olive press, and La'akel is to make netting. They would use the vine, the vine is characterized by the fact that it's like a woody stem, but it's thin and it's bendy, right? You can do stuff with it. So they would take it and they would make nets to put over the wine press. I know what purpose. Well, that would maybe stop the birds coming in, or stop the olives coming out, I know, whatever it did, but that's what they would do with it. And if you're taking the cuttings for that purpose, then it's permitted because you're not working the land, you're doing it for the sake of the cuttings, not for the sake of the vine. Right? If you're doing it in order that the vine grows better, so it's forbidden. But if you're cutting up the dead bits because you want to use them, you're allowed to do that. That's not working the land. That's not a prohibition in that. You can cut off wood for your fire. You're allowed to use wood for trees. Right? You're just not allowed to prune or grow or
make what's permitted.
The tree has benefit. The tree's not allowed. You're not allowed to benefit the tree intentionally. As a side point, it could. But the fact that your intention here was to take the wood because you needed the pieces for the thing. Yes.
You could also make them out into baskets.
You could do that too. He says here for the wine press, but they could have equally as been vats.
It's like a vat. What's
forbidden is cultivating the land.
Cultivating.
Haklayim. Farming. Haklayim. For the benefit of the produce, to make it grow better. To do things for the benefit of the tree, of the flower, of the.
What's the point? Not take the fruit out.
But if you want to do something that's not for the benefit of that, meaning l'dugma, if I want to take some wood because I've got a fire, so I take my axe and I hack down the tree. It's fine. I'm not benefiting the tree. It doesn't help the tree. I'm allowed to take the stuff.
Permitted.
Permitted. It's in mutama l'gamrei.
So what was permitted?
If on a vine, what you do on a vine, on a kerem, at the end of the season, you cut it so that it grows nicer. You don't leave the dead bits on. That's forbidden. You're not allowed to cut the bits off so that it grows better. But if those dead bits are good for you, and you're doing it because you want those pieces, you don't care, you're not doing it to make it grow better, so you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to cut off the dead bits because I want to use them for a basket or.
You cut it usually you cut very close to the stem.
You should do it with a shinui. You should make a shinui so that everybody sees that it's not a normal thing. You yourself know that you're not doing it to. Otherwise, people are going to pretend I'm doing this for the wood.
For sure that you're not allowed to take the grapes. That's for sure.
You're allowed to take the grapes. You're allowed to eat the grapes.
And should I eat that?
Yeah, you can walk into the field and take the grapes and eat them. That's fine. You're not allowed to sell them. You're not allowed to deal with them. You're allowed to eat them. It's all hefka. Nachon, all the produce is hefka, so you're allowed to take. You're allowed to eat. You can't work the land. It's about working the land. Land has to. Oh, what's the whole purpose? Shabbat, Shabbaton. Right?
Okay.
It has to be, so it's no
so
working on the land.
Shabbat, Shabbaton.
Yeah.
So how come you're allowed to do that that action that works?
Because it's like malacha. When you do malacha, it depends whether you're doing it for the sake of the malacha or not. Right? If you're doing it for the sake of that malacha, because you want that malacha to happen, you're not allowed to do it. Right? If you're cultivating land, if you're making a hole in the land, you're dragging the bench because you want to make a nice...
You're not allowed.
So but if you're doing it because you want the bench, you don't care about what makes a hole in the ground. You're doing the same thing, same action, same result, but it's fine. Because my kavanah, my intention is... Right, so here the intention is not to work the land. My intention is for the wood.
The kavanah is very important point, like very critical point like within the meat and the Beis HaMikdash. That if you eat it tasty, basar, it's pigul. It's the same
meat, it's the same. We learned yesterday. My Balazar telling us pigul, that we sat there yesterday and learned about pigul. Video, we learned that yesterday. We were just talking at the exact same point yesterday.
But you need
the kavanah, otherwise, it's pigul.
But what I don't understand is that like in the field, you're not allowed to do nothing.
No, you are.
As long as you don't.
You're not allowed to work the land. You're allowed to do stuff, you're not allowed to eat. Because that's working the land.
Okay.
If you can lichrosh because you need stones, I need stones to build a house. You're allowed to build a house on Shemitah. And I need stone, and the stone is in the ground. I'm allowed to get get the stone out. I'm allowed to do that.
Okay.
But I can't do it because I want to put a tree in there. The same hole, same job.
You're judged by your thought.
By the intention. The intention.
Yesterday is. Yep.
Is depend on some areas. Some areas not. Some is strict liability. You kill someone.
Because you're different from our side. From our side, people are different because they don't enter inside your head. But sometimes people can enter inside your head and see something. You're good intention.
But people see. The question about maritime. Maritime, we have to be careful about maritime, what people see. You're not allowed to go into a non-kosher restaurant and sit down and drink some water because it's maritime. People see what's going on here. You're not allowed to do that, even though you're just drinking water. You're not allowed to do it because of what people see and they're going to think. There's rules, there's lots of rules. Rules for everything.
But they must be corroborated because people, if they definitely departed, they feel like they have to provide the rules all the time, like jurisdictional system, like juridic system.
We have rules covering everything, but it's for our good.
People must agree, because people see different from the same object, can see it from different angles, and people see different objects in fact.
Right, but we have our rabbis,
yes,
and our pasuk, and they tell us how...
All the way, to make a clear judgment to have to see from
something. This is why you have enough to say, you have to see always the good thing.
Interesting. So here the question, one of the questions over here is, how can Reish Lakish, who's a gadol, say something negative when these other two rabbis say no, maybe it's not the case? So the footnote he brings here is from the Chofetz Chaim. And the Chofetz Chaim, who wrote the book, so to speak, in both ways, in the expression he wrote the book, and he wrote the book. He wrote the book on Lashon Hara, right? He says over there that you don't have to judge a person favorably if their action does not obviously lend itself to a reasonable interpretation. You don't have to jump yourself through hoops, right? If you see someone beating up his kid on the side of the road, smacking him, shouting at him, you don't have to say, he's pekuach nefesh right now, the kid's got something stuck in the back of his throat, and if you didn't smack him on the back, he's trying to... If it's obvious that that's not what happened, you don't have to twist yourself into contortions to try and make, right? That's not what, right? We're meant to try and judge favorably where it's reasonable to do so. You don't have to turn yourself into an idiot to do it. You have to be reasonable. Talks, and that's what he says here. And we see
to judge the action different.
So what? So what's the? He says that Reish Lakish is more concerned here that. We've got two things, right? We've always got two things to weigh up against. One side is judging a person favorably, and the other side that Reish Lakish is going on here is you've got a duty, an obligation to rebuke someone when you see he's doing something wrong. If you're judging him favorably, you're never going to rebuke him. It's probably for a good reason. Carry on, enjoy yourself.
Yeah,
beat up the little kid. I'm sure it's a good reason. Daniel Lachasrut, you're doing it for good reason. I'm not going to say nothing to you. I'm going to let you carry on because it's a good reason. Or we've got to move, but we have to wear. Or I actually have a duty when I see something incorrect to say something to put it straight. Right? I've got to, any situation is going to be. So this is a situation where Reish Lakish said it's not right. You're right. He could say that that's why he's doing it, but from my perspective. You're right, he could say, Yahol Amar, he could tell you that that's what he's doing, but it doesn't look like that to me. And they say, no, we take the view. We're talking Gedolim here, we're not talking about you and me, and you think this, and I think that, and he thinks it. So, very nice what I think and what you think. These are Gedolim, these are like huge, right? They were taking. Positions based on huge chokhmah, on a lifetime of Torah learning, and they could revive the dead, and they could, right, go up to the heavens, and they could do stuff. Right, not like you and me, right, who just said, well, I don't know, what do you think? I don't know, what do you think? Right? These, when they decided, they knew what they were talking about. And they took two different views, which is what we see in the Gemara all the time. You can take opposing views on an argument. Once here it says, Dan Lachas Chot, and it says, no. Something wrong here, and clearly there's a place here for both. Okay, so the second one he saw the Kohen pruning, and they said to him, maybe he's making these nets for the olive press. Amar lahem, Reish Lakish says back to them, Halev yodea, im la'akel, or im la'akal kolot,
or im
la'akal kal la.
Akalkalot.
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 That's the one. Yes, that's
it. No, what is akalkalot?
No, tell me.
When you go in a fish, is a straight fish. But when
kilkul.
Akalkalot, it's like this.
Yeah, something that's bent. It's bent. It's right. Something that's not straight.
Crooked.
Right? So he's basically. Why does he say this? Because the la'akel means the netting. So he took the word la'akel and used the same la'akel, also means an akel or a kalkalot, right? Which one is it? Is it really a netting or it's a crookedness? But he says the heart knows where that. That's still a bit of a cryptic statement there from Reish Lakish. How? What does that come to tell me? Right? He said, I think that he's cheating, breaking Shemitah, and you think he's making a net. And I'm Reish Lakish, and I say back to you, you know what? The heart knows whether it's true or not. That wins the argument. I mean, how does that help me? You're right. I say right, the heart knows. This is a punchline knock statement that the Gemara finishes with. That it's important to say. Right? We now move on.
You say so people can tell.
So what? He's having an argument. Right, you and me are having an argument about what Moshe is doing in his field. And I say to you, he's transgressing Torah. And you say, no, he's not. And I say to you, the heart knows. So what? What was that statement I just made? That was to support me? That was to refute you? How did it help? How?
You're saying that I know.
The viewer knows. So the heart knows. When he says the heart knows, he means the viewer really knows what's going on. Meaning, I'm actually saying to you, you really knew.
Specifically, I don't know any viewer. Reish Lakish, from his life experience, knew when a person.
So he's saying to the other two rabbis, trust me.
I
know what's going on.
My heart is to deal with crooked things.
Okay, interesting, because Reish Lakish,
knows. Not talking about this chacham, let's say he's doing something, not judging, because in the end of the day,
do I have an obligation to say something? Not judging, I have the obligation to say something to him. Not to let him carry on and hope that he makes teshuva. I don't know if he's a Tamidachan. I'm walking along the way. I don't know if this guy's a Tamidachan. He's going to make teshuva by himself. I've got a duty to say something if I see someone doing something wrong. Obligation for the Torah to rebuke your fellow man if you see him doing something wrong. Whether or not we can rebuke is something else. Okay. But the obligation. So the question is, should I just leave everyone? I would never, ever use that.
When Akiva said 2,000 years ago,
But it doesn't. The question is, but we still have the halachic about what's correct. The fact that I can't go and rebuke him because I'm not in a position to give rebuke myself. I'm not at the level. But I still need to know if I was at the level, would this be a person I should rebuke or not? I still have to know that he's doing wrong.
Okay. Luckily, no, he was in the same situation before.
It doesn't say whether or not he went over to him at that point, right? Maybe he bowed to the other two rabbis. There's three of them, right? Probably not for nothing that there was two and one, right? So usually what happens is you have to go by the majority. So if you're with three rabbis, you don't separate yourself from the majority, and you know what? I'm going to go and tell him anyway. No, he gave his rabbi. You know what? Tough. What can I do? He humbled himself.
You're not invoking him because he's able. You can't eat his meat.
But there wouldn't be any point. No, there's no point rebuking him because he wouldn't change. That's one of the grounds for rebuke is you can't rebuke. You're not allowed to rebuke a person that you know it's not going to make any difference to. You're not allowed to rebuke him. It's a waste of time.
In the Proverbs of King Solomon, you don't rebuke a crazy person, a person that doesn't follow.
If there's no chance that he's going to listen to you, then you're not allowed to rebuke him.
No, but you know he's not wise. He doesn't appreciate the wise words. For him, it would be like an offense. So you don't rebuke him. You don't rebuke him. Only the wise receive the message that helps them to recover and straighten up.
Right. So 100%.
This is why.
Yeah.
It's morale. The two rabbis didn't answer.
Nachon, they don't say anything.
It means that they agree. They went by him.
Sometimes. Maybe.
We've had that before.
Maybe. Could be. could be that, because he, Keely, Reish Lakish gets the final word here. And we see the story continues with Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish now goes on, we're going to see later in the sukkah, he now goes to Rabbi Yochanan and says, Rabbi Yochanan, what's with these two guys that let this guy go and they didn't, right? We're going to see, right? So the flow of the Gemara we're going to see is Reish Lakish was right. Rabbi Yochanan's not happy with him because he's talking about the other two rabbis. We're going to see what happens in the whole story, but certainly Reish Lakish does not give up his position here. He seems to have the last word. Where Halev Yodea, Rashi is a bit cryptic, and Rashi on that also is a strange Rashi, because Rashi apparently needs to translate that or give us an extra commentary, and Rashi's commentary doesn't apparently add anything. Libo Yodea in La Kaloroga. So he says Halev Yodea, and Rashi adds Libo Yodea, his heart. Well, whose heart is Lev Yodea?
Is that all Rashi's Rashi?
Yeah.
Is that, that's all the Rashi on this?
He adds another few words, but he just repeats the same words up here. So the only the key of the Rashi is Lev Yodea, Libo Yodea. His heart. It doesn't say who the his is.
Maybe that man.
So, I mean, look, there's three possible people, there's three possible hearts here that we could be talking about, right? In my opinion. Right? The viewer, his heart knows, I really know what's going on here. I can tell in my heart that this is kosher, it's not kosher. Or we're talking about the guy himself. He really knows what he, for sure, and then it's not a chiddush, right? Or his lev, Halev Yodea. Hashem knows what's going on in his heart. I thought that's a bit forced. So the most likely from the Peshat is that the viewer knows. But then the viewer knows. So then Reish Lakish is coming to say, you know what? Dirt, you should rely, I know I'm just talking now, you should rely on your intuition as to what's going on here, and not rely on possible stories that you could say, that maybe he could say that this was really, but although we see different in different Gemaras, in Gemara Brachot, Nachon, at the end of Gemara Brachot, where someone comes to stay for the night and they take away his rugs. He said, why did you take him over our rugs? And he sold them in the marketplace. And he comes to him in the marketplace and he tries to charge him more than he actually paid for them. And then he said to him, why didn't you say anything to me? And then he says, because maybe you were selling them for Pidyon Shavuim, right? And you needed the money for this and you were too embarrassed to ask me and that. And he said, that's exactly what happened. Right, so you see, so we do have Gemaras that come at it from a different view that say, no, you take the most unlikely extreme view, and you know what? You could be right. But then we're talking about the heart knows, Sadiqim, right? They said in that Gemara, we knew that was the case. I trusted you that really there was a good reason why you were doing it all. Right, the Lev Yodea. But if my Lev doesn't know that, my Lev is telling to me, it's not right. Something off here.
But given Reish Lakish's background,
so he knows,
and all his history.
Yeah, but he has to be. He says to them, meaning he's telling them something. The words of the Sadiqim, the sages, are not spoken except for a very good reason. And when he tells them this, he's telling this for them. He's not saying, by the way, I know what I'm talking about. I don't need to tell you to Sadiqim, by the way, I know what I'm talking about. Right? If Reish Lakish is telling them something, it's telling them something for them. He's telling them, effectively, don't go by, I'm telling you halacha here, I'm telling you Torah, don't go by what could possibly be and work out possible explanations. Go by your lev. The lev you're there. Kanira.
There's a conflict between people and they don't agree. You have to let them each one do whatever they want, as long as they don't self-destroy themselves. And then we see the results in time show at least who has a heart, who has good intention, who doesn't.
We have an obligation.
We have an obligation to stop everything that's evil inside.
Not to stop, we have an obligation on ourselves.
Yes.
Not to stop him. I've got an obligation on me to give rebuke. My obligation to the result of how it went to stop him is Hashem's problem. my obligation is to give, if I see a place where I need to give rebuke, that's what I need to do. If I see a place where I need to keep quiet, that's what I need to do.
Even the rebuke must be approved by Hashem.
It needs to be what I need to do. I need to do whatever I need to do
in
every situation in my life.
In every
and it's to be quiet or to speak.
But in every situation, we have to ask God.
Well, yeah, I agree. Okay.
Because otherwise, it's just.
But my job is not necessarily where I'm differing is my job is not necessarily to just look and to watch and to see what happens. My job is actually where I have to take action. I have to take action.
Huh? If we had that yesterday, we were talking about allowing people to tell us.
Has to be warning. Yeah, have to. Yeah, like a Jew's got an obligation to warn when he sees someone doing something wrong,
exactly.
Right? And then, and then an obligation to cart him off to Beit Din if he carries, if he does it, he ignores the warning.
It's not in the deeper meaning that maybe Hashem is showing you something.
You know,
in this situation, maybe you see somebody fake Shabbat.
Okay.
Yeah?
Maybe
I'm not keeping Shabbat.
As well as additionally, but at the same time, I still have a Torah obligation to go and do something. If I do, I have to think. I have to think. Now this situation, what is my obligation? Firstly, also on me, but also what is my obligation now on me to do to him? Hashem wants to teach me the midah of gevura. I need to have chesed, I also need to have gevura, right? I can't just go around being kind and wonderful and not. I need to have a midah and gevura sometimes, and Hashem needs to teach me. He's going to put me in a situation where I want you to say something. And you're looking around hoping someone else is going to say something, and I'm, you really want me to say something? Yeah, I do. I want you to get up, because I need to teach you. You need to now work on your midah and gevura for Hashem's sake. Not in order so you can throw your weight around and be angry, but for the sake of Shemayim, to say something when something's going wrong, right? Now, when people are disgracing Torah, disgracing Beit Knesset, whatever they're doing, I've got an obligation to stand up for Hashem here. If I have, but I have to go through that question in my head to see what Hashem wants from me right now. Also, now I need to go, why did I see that? What do I need to change to?
This implies faith. It's implies faith, what you said just now, it's implies faith. You have to have faith and courage to say, to open your mouth, because if you talk to one person, it might come against you. And if it is a fire jewel, he might be interested in
territory. Okay, let's move on a little bit. So, the Gemara says now about what happened. Hai amar lehu bereisha. Which did he say first? What's the question? So we saw the Reish Lakish and Rav Shimon Rav Chia. They saw two different men. So the Gemara wants to know, wait a minute, which one did he actually see first? Did he see the guy plowing, or he sees the guy pruning first? We're going to say, what? Who cares? Right, we're going to see. There's a Nafkamina. So the Gemara says, why does it make a difference? So, Ilema Hakam Aita. If you say it was the first one, if you say it was the order that we read it in, the first one first, that he first saw the plowing and then he saw the pruning. Amalahu Bereisha, Hanami Lemru, that he said to him first. Hanami Lemru Agiston Ani Betocha. He could also have given the same answer as the second one. Right? In the first answer that the two rabbis gave, they said maybe he's an employee on someone else's land. So if that was really the first case, and then they saw someone pruning their vineyard, why didn't the rabbi just say to him, didn't we just answer this question? Maybe it's just that you asked the same question, we give the same answer, right? It wouldn't occur. He wouldn't say the same question when there's an obvious answer that you just gave me 2 minutes ago to someone else, right? So obviously it must be that that's not the case. It must be that the vineyard came first, and in the vineyard they had an excuse, so to speak, or an explanation, right, that he was making netting. But when they came to the ploughing, he asked the same question again. And at this time, they had to have to give a different answer. Well, you know what? Maybe he's an employee on that land. It had to be that way around. You with me?
So what was the first excuse?
Maybe he's ploughing to make a house.
Now, it could have been any other reason, but it could not have been that the ploughing was first. Because if the ploughing was first, the reason they gave for the ploughing would also cover the vineyard.
That is important.
And therefore, he wouldn't have to ask about the vineyard. because you already had an answer that covered both situations, all situations. So because the vineyard answer only applied to the vineyard, to make netting, so then he could ask on the ploughing, because that answer didn't cover it. So what are you going to tell me here? He's not making nets for an olive press here. So they said, oh, you know what? Maybe he's working on someone else's land. So and so the Gemara wants to show, actually it was the other way around. Oh, a bit of Sfarah logic, you can see that.
That is permitted if you're working in the other guy's land.
So we said, no, so we said there were two reasons. Either it was land owned by Goyim, and there's no Kedusha, so you're allowed to do it. Or it was in order to pay the Arnona, the tax of the king, and there was a leniency by Rabbi Yanai that said you're allowed to do it.
Kuach
Nefesh, for whatever reason, Rabbi Yanai said you're allowed to do it. Kohen doesn't have a land.
The only thing he has is like a vegetable garden.
It could have been donated to him. Oh no, he has to give it to the Beit Midrash.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, then they sell it. The only land they have is like vegetable patches.
Why not? So maybe it was a vegetable patch.
Why would you plant a vegetable patch? It's that small.
Why not? So what you do on a vegetable patch, you plant.
You dig a hole and...
Ah, top. With the exact what he would make out here. Hashem sent. Hashem gives. He said,
I gave no to the biggest man to coins.
They didn't get the calming the land, but maybe they could. I don't know if there's any reason why they couldn't have owned land. They could have bought it, could have been given it as a gift. They weren't given it as a heritage, and after Yovel it would go back and they would have nothing. But at the time, I don't think there's any reason why they can't have land.
Maybe Kohanim Hashudim are working people's land after Shvi'i because they had no income during Shvi'i. Very little.
Could be. It's not the reason given here. We're going to see that Gemara is going to give a reason why the Kohanim were suspect. It's not for that reason. It's because they were suspect on Truma. So because you're suspect on Truma, you're also suspect on Kedusha of the land. Okay. So, Tom, so let's just finish this bit. Ella ha amar le bereisha v'hadama lahu ha. Rather, he said this one first, and then later said the other one. Right, the Gemara just switches them round to say that was the order of the two questions that he asked. So, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue with this sugya.